Decoded Dreamer, welcome and thank you so much for joining me here today. I just have to start this one out by sharing how much I have loved doing this podcast and how much I feel like God is growing me in the process. It is not easy, but it has been so much fun, and I have the opportunity to meet some super amazing women. One specifically that I can't wait to introduce you to today, and more in the pipeline. So if you're new here, it is such an honor that you would come and listen and share some of your day with me. If you are not new, have been around for a while, I'm grateful to you. Thank you for giving me parts of your day and for listening to the dreams that God has put on the hearts of these women. So today you are listening to episode 43 of the Devoted Dreamers podcast, and I'm your host, Merit Ansa. And each week I speak with a courageous woman about her God-shaped dream and how God uses the things he puts on our hearts to draw us to himself. So, and I truly mean this, whether you have a dream or no idea of what God may be calling you to, you are welcome here. So this week's sponsor is the free Kindle reading app available through Amazon. And the more guests I speak to, the more of their books or the books they recommend I want to read. But I am so trying to slow down my book hoarding tendency, and I have a feeling the Kindle reading app is going to help. So Amazon's free Kindle reading app is available on most devices. You can get it on your PC, your smartphone, your tablet, whatever. You don't have to have a Kindle. And when you sign up through my link for the Kindle iCloud reader on desktop or the Kindle reading app on your mobile device, you're also supporting the Devoted Dreamers podcast. This is a great option if you want fewer books on hand, or maybe you're planning a summer vacation and you just can't lug 20 books through the airport. You can find the link to download the app in the show description for today's show, or just click on the Kindle reading app banner in the show notes at meritansa.com/podcast, and then go search for all the great ebooks you want to load on it. So as a curator of stories, it's my passion to collect and share with you the real life stories of what it looks like to listen and wait on God for our dreams. My hope and prayer is that this podcast will cultivate the momentum we all need to find and fuel our calling. I also pray that this show points you to God and his word. I want you to believe that he has made you for a purpose, that he has a plan for your life. That plan does not have to be glamorous. It doesn't mean you have to write a book. It just has to be the plan that he created for you. So I urge you, just take a moment with this week's episode to listen and rest and breathe and lean in to the courage, space, and permission you need to take a tiny baby step towards your God-shaped dream. So I am still on this sing their praises kick. If you've been around the last couple episodes, this is my way of encouraging other women in the work that they're doing and reminding you to do the same. So how often do you think I should leave a review for this podcast? But iTunes certainly has not made it easy. You have to really search for that rate and review button, but that's why I'm challenging you and me to do it more often. I've been taking just 10 minutes a week to leave reviews for other women whose work I admire or appreciate. I have loved this practice, and once you figure out how and get in the habit of doing it, it's so simple. And every week I'm thinking of ways to take a little extra time to encourage someone else, and that has beautifully impacted my day-to-day life. If you'd like to join me, I'm using the hashtag SingTheirPraises on social media to share who I've left reviews for. I hope you'll use it too and encourage your little corner of the world to do the same. So this week, I am introducing you to Sue Ann Camfield. Sue Ann is the Women's Ministry Director at Christ Church of Oak Brook and the author of The Sound of a Million Dreams, Awakening to Who You Are Becoming. It's her first book, released in March of 2017. Sue Ann previously worked for Caris, a nonprofit counseling organization that supports women and children. She was an assistant editor at InterVarsity Press and the blog manager for Fulfill, a nonprofit focused on mobilizing women to invest their influence in the world for God's purposes. She lives in the Chicago suburbs with her husband, a pastor, and 2 teenage children. In this episode, Sue Ann tells the story of when God stirred something inside of her during a holy moment in a coffee shop. She shares this really important insight that helps us take our eyes off what we are supposed to do to follow our dream. She talks about how she fights back against the internal war, those voices that make her question what she's doing and even who she is sometimes. The confidence she has developed in God and His faithfulness, despite her circumstances or feelings, is a true encouragement, and she shares how this has helped her hold more loosely to her dreams. I love the way Sue Ann talks about dreaming. I've already called her a kindred spirit, and I hope you'll feel some of that too as you listen today. The warmth and courage and strength with which she shares her story, along with true encouragement for anyone with a dream or with a hope of a dream, is a gift she's given us through this conversation. I hope you'll stick around for the end of the show where I will share how you can win a copy of Sue Ann's book, The Sound of a Million Dreams, this week on Instagram. And now here she is, Sue Ann Camfield. Hello, Sue Ann, and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Merritt. It's great to be here.
It's really fun to have you. As I told you before we started recording, a couple chapters into your book, and I feel like our conversation today is going to be really fun and encouraging for all the devoted dreamers out there.
I sure hope so. That's great to hear.
Well, then let's start with, I would love to hear the dream that God has placed on your heart and where you're at with that right now.
Well, you know, God has placed on my heart this dream, really that's evolved over the last decade of my life. And part of that has to do with writing. And, you know, I was one of those kids who I don't think I ever would have said that I wanted to be a writer. I think a lot of times when we finally step into our vocation or whatever it is that we feel like we are supposed to do professionally, that we can kind of look back and say, oh, I wanted to do that from the time I was a little girl or a little boy. And I've realized over this last decade that that was not the case for me. Really, God started to stir this dream to write, and as an overflow of that, to do some teaching and speaking and other ministry areas when I hit 30. And it's been this thing He's developed over these last 10 years in lots of different ways. And we might dig into some of those today. I'm not going to go into all of the details of that right now because it is a really long story. And He's met me in many different ways of that. But the beginning of it was, like I said, I was about 30 and I moved to Chicago with my husband. And we came here for a job opportunity that he had, and we didn't know a single soul, not a single person. And Chicago has 9 million people, and we didn't know any of them. And at the time, my children were very little, and I was kind of in that fog when you have children that are very young, where you just feel like every day is the longest day you've ever lived, and you're just trying to get from one end to the other, and you're kind of walking around in this fog. And I hadn't taken a lot of time for myself during that time, and especially when we moved to Chicago, I didn't know anybody, and I was really lonely, and I was just feeling like I was drowning in this space of my life. And my family came down with the stomach flu, and I was the first one to recover. And so I decided that I was going to steal my husband's laptop, and I was going to go off to a coffee shop and just sit and dream a little bit and write a little bit and just see what came out. And as I did that, I just had this holy moment of feeling like, wait a minute, this piece of me that is coming out right now is something that I'm supposed to explore, and it's something I need to pay attention to. And that was, for me, a very specific call to write. And I didn't really know what to do with it. I didn't know where it was going to lead, but I did know that I could not do it. And so I went home that day and kind of announced to my husband, like, hey, something kind of crazy happened to me when I sat in this coffee shop. I really felt God speak to me in a very specific way. And of course, he didn't really pay attention and nobody else really paid attention, but I paid attention for the next decade of my life and followed that. I call it the stirring in the book, this place that God's been stirring in me. And as I followed that, went through a lot of different experiences and journeys of times of thinking, you know what, this is never going to happen. I don't know why I'm doing this. But to answer your question of where I'm at today, I just released my first book last month. And so it was definitely been worth the following that dream, even though I didn't know exactly where it was going to take me, because it eventually did pay off.
I love that, because when you were 30 and sitting in a coffee shop, you didn't say, oh, I think I'll write a book. And we probably never know where our dreams are really going to take us.
Right. Right. And I think the important thing is that, because we can spend a lot of time trying to figure it out. And I definitely spent a lot of years really trying to figure it out. And I think what I learned is that we're not necessarily always going to have the answers that we want.
In our perfect little controlled world.
Right.
That
right.
never works out the way we expect.
Exactly. But the important thing, I think, is that we keep taking those steps of faith, even though we're not sure where they're going to lead us, because we believe that that dream that God has placed in our heart is actually from Him, and that we didn't make it up, and that we're not crazy, but that He actually put it there. And so we just continue to take small steps in the right direction that we feel like He's leading us, even though we don't have all those answers.
So I'm curious if there is something that you can put your finger on, like, how did you know the stirring was from Him? Like, was that clear to you? Or, I mean, clearer than
that. Yeah, laughing. I know you can't tell. I'm kind of laughing because I think that's part of the journey of in the moment, I knew it was from Him, and I was pretty clear that it was one of those things I couldn't really describe. I didn't know how to put it into words to other people, but I knew I had a holy encounter with God in that moment. And I can't describe exactly what that was like, but I definitely knew it was from Him. Now, what I will say, as the years went by, I questioned that 100 times over. I mean, all of the time, thinking, God, did I make this up? Did I, like I said, am I crazy? But along the journey, I think when we pay attention to Him and we're in tune with what His Spirit is doing in our lives, and in His goodness and His kindness and His mercy and His grace, He reminds us that it actually was Him along the way. And He does that by sending various people into our lives, or having moments, you know, that we can't quite explain, that point us in this direction of our dreams, or whether it's reading His word, or just confirmations along the way that we just have to grab and hold on to and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You that You are the one speaking this to me. And it really becomes a matter of deep faith, not pretty faith, not perfect faith, but definitely deep faith.
Yeah. And so tell the listeners a bit about your book, because, I mean, I think you already have been, but let's dig into, what did you write about in The Sound of a Million Dreams?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I wouldn't necessarily just come right off and start talking about my book in a conversation like this, but because of the subject matter, it really is what I wrote about. Mm-hmm. And it really was this journey of me wrestling with these places that I felt like God was calling me to dream, places that He wanted me to step into, but not being able to see exactly how I was going to get there. And so for me, the way that I worked that out, and it's different for all of us, but for me, it was writing. And so I spent years sitting in coffee shops, sitting, you know, I commuted into the city for years. And so sitting in the train, sitting in the parking lot of my kids' Little League games, sitting at practices and gyms and all those places we drive our kids to and have to just sit and wait, I would open my laptop and just start to write down how I was feeling, and this wrestling of, God, what is it You're really calling me to? What is it really You want me to do? Am I crazy? Did I make this up? All of those questions that we've been talking about, I wrote down. And so my book really is this journey of wrestling in those places with God, but along the way, realizing that our dreams are not an end, in and of themselves, but they really are about a process of offering ourselves to whatever God is calling us to do, whatever He's asking us to dream about. As we have courage and we take risks and we're vulnerable and we struggle through our doubts and our fears, we offer that all up to Him. And He uses all of those things as we journey to our dreams. And so my book really is that process of me wrestling and what I've learned as a result. It's definitely not a how-to book. So for people who say, gosh, I just want someone to tell me what to do or tell me how I'm going to figure this out, it's definitely not that kind of book. But if you want to go on a journey of the soul and what happens inside of our souls as we offer ourselves to our dreams, then I would say this would be a good read for you.
I would agree. I feel like I'm on a journey with you at 10 o'clock at night when I'm sitting in bed and reading about where you're headed on that train. Well, I would love for you to share, you've touched on it too, but just the challenges that you have faced in this last 10 years of paying attention to what God's been doing in your heart.
Well, I think there's internal challenges. So there are the voices that come along the way and try to talk us out of our dreams or tell us that we aren't good enough or that we shouldn't be believing in the things that we're believing. And those voices, I think, happen at very young ages. They happen throughout our whole lives. It's not just the current voices. I think it's those voices that start to whisper to us that we've been hearing for years, saying, you know what, who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. And so it's listening to those, or I should say not listening, choosing not to listen to those, and believing the truth of who we are and our identity in Christ. So I'd say that is a big one. I think we definitely, I should say I definitely struggled with doubt, fear, vulnerability, insecurity. I mean, we could just pile them all up, right? All the big ones that I think all of those things that happen inside of us as we walk towards anything that's really important to us, we have a tendency to let those things start to swirl around inside of us and say, gosh, what is really going on here? Is it worth it? So there's that whole internal piece. And at the same time, there is an external piece. You know, there is a world that we live in each and every day. And it is busy and it is chaotic. And it's a world that needs us. It's jobs we have to go to and it's children we have to take care of, or maybe elderly parents that need our attention. It's emails and it's social media and it's everything that's going on in the world. You know, it's all the things we have to do. And, you know, I can't tell you the amount of times I've sat down and said, oh my goodness, how in the world am I supposed to pursue my dreams and what I feel like God has put inside of my heart when I've got all this stuff to do, right? When life is just nagging and pressing and pushing and pulling on me from every direction. And so it's that constant internal, external war that I think is really hard when we try to pursue the things that are really important to us. Yet at the same time, I think we have to fight. We have to fight for the space in those worlds to say, you know what, internally, I'm gonna fight for who God says I am and who I believe He is. And externally, as all of this is going on around me, I am going to fight for the space that's just for me. And whatever that looks like, it's different for all of us, but I'm going to find the nooks and the crannies of my days and my life where I can spend time paying attention to what God is doing inside of me, and then actually making the space to actually do whatever He's asking us to do.
And that's hard.
It's really hard.
The space alone is really hard.
It's so hard. It's such a challenge. It's worth it when we find it, but it's so hard.
And I'm curious, like, as you're sharing that and I am holding your book in my hands, does it feel like this physical book is a victory in that battle, or is this battle still being carried out in your life?
You know, for me in this moment, it is definitely a victory. I am sure that there will be other parts of my journey in the years to come where I might be right back to where I started. But for me, it's a huge victory because I just, you know, I had an interview not too long ago and someone said, "What's the thing you're most proud of?" And I thought, gosh, I know I should say my children. I know I should say my marriage. I know I should say these things. But really, in this moment, the thing I'm most proud of is finding those nooks and crannies and staying disciplined and staying the course. You know, it's Eugene Peterson saying it's a long obedience in the same direction. And really being proud that I took the times when I could and stayed the course to have this product, which is really a product of my dream, that it's a real tangible thing I can hold. And I know that's not always the case, and I don't expect that to be the case for everybody. But for me, it's been God's kindness to me. Every time I look at that book and think, wow, God, we've really been on a journey together, and you gave me something that I can see as a result.
Yeah, what a joy to have that now after long hours of wrestling.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'll add one thing to that. You know, when I finished the book, I remember turning in the first manuscript and saying, gosh, you know, if no one ever buys this, if no one ever reads this, if no one ever sees it besides me and my laptop, I really am content with that because I did what God asked me to do. And the thing I want to add to that is, you know, it's easy when talking about our dreams to focus on the tangible things that we're supposed to do. But one of the most important things I learned through this whole journey is that it's not really about what we're supposed to do. Yes, there's an element to that. And yes, I believe that God, you know, calls us to these dreams he puts in our heart. And there are things we're supposed to do. But I think that should never overshadow the fact that there is a person that he's asking us to become. Mm. And so rather than along the journey always asking what we should be doing, we need to more and more ask who we're supposed to be becoming. Because if we can we can frame our dreams as we move towards them, less and less about what we're supposed to do and more about who we're supposed to come, it really does change our whole perspective on our pursuit of those dreams. Because at the end of the day, we realize that in offering ourselves to our dream, that God uses that process and those places in our lives to make us more like him.
The what we're supposed to do is so short term, and the who we're supposed to become is forever. Mm-hmm. So That's really beautiful.
Well, and to add to that, the who we're becoming is really the thing that is going to have the most impact on the people around us. Mm-hmm. When you think about the places where you spend most of your time and the places you have the biggest impact, it's those places that we're present with people where we are giving the very best parts of who we are into those places that we're most called to. And so when we focus on that, who we're becoming, as we're sitting with people, as we're extending grace, as we're listening, as we're loving, as Jesus would love, those often have way more of an impact than anything we can hang on our wall or put on a bookshelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're making me think about, you know, I have a 2-year-old and I want her to become, you know, a whole list of things. And telling her that is not really going to deliver the outcome I'm looking for, but showing her that by how God has changed me, how I parent her, how I interact and teach her, she'll learn it that way, God willing.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. And I think those are the things that keep us going when we feel like life is tugging at us from every direction and we can't actually get to the things we want to do, that we can't actually, we don't feel like we're making any ground on our dreams, that we just have to sit with those moments and say, you know what we're doing right now in this moment and who we are in this present moment is not necessarily more important, but equally as important as anything or any path that we will journey down.
So, Sue-Ann, I'd love to hear also how all of these things that you have been learning about yourself, about God, about dreaming, how this kind of overflows into the work that you do in women's ministry.
Well, you know, I've spent this whole time talking a lot about writing, and we've talked about the book mm-hmm. and that being a tangible expression of that. Well, the parallel journey to my writing journey and has really been this desire to teach and to speak and to have a context in which, number one, I can impact people, and number two, I can do it in a way where I feel like who I am and what I have to offer actually aligns with what I'm doing in my professional life. Mm. And part of my journey has been this constant misalignment between what I actually was getting paid to do and the best pieces of who I feel like I am and what I have to offer and how that fits into my calling and the dreams God has placed on my heart. And so I spent years doing a lot of different jobs, a lot of really good jobs, a lot of jobs that I've been educated for. I have a journalism degree. I have a public relations background. I've worked with nonprofits and have done a lot of work that if you looked at my resume, you would say, oh, yeah, this fits. You've been educated for this. You have experience in these areas, and this is a great fit for you to do those things. But yet, every time I was stepping into these jobs, I just felt like, gosh, this is not the right fit. It looks like it on paper, but it's not the right fit for the deeper things and this deeper dreaming that God has placed on my life. And so in January of 2016, I really felt like I was just in a place with my work and my life that God was just asking me to open my hands and be open to whatever he had for me. And I knew that a change was coming. I was working at a nonprofit in the city of Chicago. It was a great job, a great organization that I really believed in and was proud to work for. But I just felt like, you know, something here is not quite fitting who I am. And so I just said, Lord, I don't know what you have for me this year, but I'm going to trust you with it. And whatever you bring my way, I'm going to pay attention to, and I'm going to listen to what you're doing. And my church, my husband has actually been on staff at this church, Christ Church of Oak Brook, for over a decade. And they have had a policy where they weren't hiring spouses. And so I just knew that that was never going to be an option for me. And in the last year, something shifted with that policy. And in that process, during that time, our women's director had stepped down. She took a senior pastor role, actually, at a church out in California. And the position became open and available. And the first thing I was told was, you know what, Sue-Ann, you'd be a great candidate, but they are never going to hire you. And I thought, well, you're right. I know that it's not an option for me. But let's just pray about it and see what God does. And so over the course of about 9 months, God removed every barrier that there was for me taking this position. And they interviewed lots and lots of people and probably lots of great candidates. And for whatever reason, they just weren't finding what they were looking for. And when I sat down to actually accept this job offer, it just was a moment that I had to kind of pinch myself and say, God, I can't believe that you actually did everything that you did to bring me to this place. And I tell you that story leading up to what I'm doing now, because this is the first time I've been in a position where I feel like my gifts, my experience, and what I have to offer people all aligns and it fits And I get to, in this position, communicate and use my words, both in my writing and in teaching and speaking, to impact women. And I just have such a heart and a love for what God is doing in the life of women and what He can do in the life of women, because I think they have such a unique influence in the world in all their spheres of influence. And so I am so excited to finally be in this place where my worlds are aligning and feeling like I can really do a job on paper that I was called to do. Mm. And that's a really good feeling.
And I know that you're not saying all those other jobs were a waste.
No.
I mean, they were an avenue for you to figure out how God wanted to use your gifts. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think every experience that we have, none of it is a waste. So whether it's a job or a volunteer opportunity or a relationship that we're in, or regardless of what it is, all of those things culminate together on that path as we continue to ask who we want to be. And God doesn't waste any of it. And I was really fortunate to have and to be in a lot of great positions, surrounded by great people who were shaping who I am and was, and hopefully will continue to become.
And I want to go back to we went on a really cool tangent, and I don't want to miss something I was thinking about when you were talking about the inner voices and the struggles and figuring out those internal and external challenges, and just ask you kind of where you've seen God in that, and kind of directing you through that.
Well, I think that God, as far as the internal pieces go, I really believe that He continues to call us, and specifically what He's done for me is call me back to His character and the person that He is. And in those moments where I've been hearing those voices, or I'm discouraged, or I'm believing maybe the wrong story about my life, I come back to two questions. And I come back to the question of, God, do I really believe You are who I say You are? And do I really believe I am who You say I am? Mm-hmm. And they're such basic questions, and yet they're so profound at the same time, because I think it's so easy to profess those things and say, of course I believe that God is who He says He is, and I am who He says I am. But yet in those moments when we're struggling with those voices and all of the things that happens inside of us as we move towards our dreams, and along the way when we fail and when we mess it up, and we don't do the things that we think we are supposed to do. You know, all of those times I keep coming back to that question of, God, do I really believe You are who You say You are? Are You good? Are You merciful? Are You kind? Are You at work in my life? Do You work in the people who You love, Your sons and Your daughters? Are You always at work in our lives? And when I have to say yes to those questions, it just centers me and helps me to say, okay, even though I feel like I'm inside in a little bit of turmoil right now, I still know that You are good and You care about what's happening in my life. And I am worthy. At the same time, I'm completely unworthy of Your love and Your presence. And so that's the internal for me. I just always come back to those two things, and it doesn't make the internal struggles go away, but it at least centers me and gives me the right perspective so that I can continue to move forward.
And it strengthens your trust in Him, because you're continually reminding yourself that, yes, He is faithful. Yes, He is trustworthy. Yes, He is good.
Yes. And Merritt, I'm so glad you just said the word faithful, because I think that is what we learn. And one of the biggest things that I've learned through this whole journey is God just keeps showing up. And I don't want to say show up in terms that I think God comes in and out of our lives at the times that chooses. He's ever present with us.
Yes.
But you just have those moments where you look back and say, God, you are so faithful to me. And when we see that faithfulness, just like the nations of Israel, you know, setting their stones and remembering the things that God has done, when we constantly can do that and see his faithfulness, it gives us the courage to keep going. And that's been one thing I've held on to probably more than any other.
And I just realized that you, I think, just answered my question, how has this experience changed you?
I think I've been saying that the entire time we've been together.
I know, right?
I will say, though, it does just keep coming back to one of the most maybe ironic parts of this journey is that, you know, I've been pursuing my dreams. I've been faithful to what I think God has called me to do and what he's asked me to do. Even when I can't see what that is, I have spent hours and hours and hours working on my craft and throwing myself into situations that I haven't been entirely prepared for. And sometimes stumbling, and more than stumbling, failing in those situations, but gathering what I could learn from those and picking myself up again. And, you know, all to this point where I feel like, okay, I finally have done some of those things that I've worked really hard at. And at the same time, I feel like I've never more loosely held on to my dreams than I am right now. Because I think in the process of not just asking what I've wanted to do, but asking who I want God to shape me to become, I've just been able to let go of the end product and more enjoy the journey and become more deeply invested in the person that I believe God is asking me to become, and how that person influences the people who are in my life every day. And so it's become less about the destination, not to be cliche, but much more about the journey that God has us on each and every day. And I would say that's the thing that that's the part of this process that has changed me more than any other.
Well, the next thing I want to ask you about, I'm so excited to hear you talk about what verse of scripture you are loving in this moment.
Well, I have been studying the book of Mark with a group of women, and we have just recently studied the crucifixion and the resurrection. And it's verses and stories that are so common to us and that we hear, you know, year in and year out, if not month in and month out, if we're part of a body of believers. But for whatever reason, as we were studying this year, I just was struck in a new and different way of what Jesus did on the cross and the impact that had on the people around him. And so the verse that I've really just been sitting with is Mark 15, 39. And it says this: when the Roman officer who stood facing him, meaning Jesus, saw he had died, he exclaimed, "Truly this was the Son of God." And it's just one of those moments where you realize that what Jesus did and all the crazy events, and you probably have to go back and read through the passage just to refresh ourselves of just the amazing things that happened during that last week of Jesus' life, specifically the crucifixion and the resurrection. But we get to this point where Jesus is hanging on the cross and he just gets done saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the sun goes dark and he's breathing his last breath. And there is this man who doesn't know who he is, or maybe doesn't have a full understanding of what it means that he's hanging on the cross. And yet he is able to look at Jesus and say, wow, you really are who you say you are. Hmm. And I think it just goes back to, you know, what we were talking about earlier, that I just realized more and more in my faith journey that I just keep coming back to that place of, God, you are who you say you are. And if the Roman soldier who didn't know Jesus at all can experience him for just this short amount of time and declare his majesty and his divinity, then how much more for us who travel with him day in and day out?
Mm. Oh, I just love that. And we talked about this before I hit record, but our pastor just preached on this section of scripture recently. And one of the things he added to that story was the soldier probably saw Caesar as God, like that, like culturally, he just like, this is a conversion experience from,
yes,
you know, little g God to big G God. And it was like, oh gosh, I hadn't even considered just the historical context, which obviously is important when we read the Bible. But I think that's so encouraging, having just celebrated Easter, and just to be reminded of that truth and who he is, the power to darken the sun while he hung on the cross. That occurred to me too, as you were saying, it was like, oh, right. Yes, he did that too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Thank you. Well, I really would love, you've given tons of incredible advice already, and just this narrative of your experience kind of pursuing your God-shaped dreams. But if you could narrow it down, like, what specific advice would you give to somebody who's where you were maybe 10 years ago and still kind of wrestling at the beginning of this journey?
You know, the first thing I would say is, first of all, welcome to the journey.
Right.
It's a good one. And so stay with it. But I would say pay attention. That is one of the biggest things that I would pass on, is that pay attention to what God has been doing in your life for a very long time. I have the second chapter of the book is called The First Sound I Remember. And I was going back, and I don't know what intrigued me about this idea, but trying to listen to the first sound that I could remember. It's really impossible. You really can't do it. But in the process of listening for that first sound, all of these other sounds and memories, and not just memories, but very formative and shaping experiences start to pop to the surface. And by going on that journey, we really start to see who God has uniquely created us to be from the time we were very young, and what experiences he has placed in our lives along the way that maybe we weren't dreaming at that point in our lives. Maybe we had no idea that there would be a dream coming, but yet in his faithfulness, he has been threading that story for years and years, our entire lives, by shaping us through all of those experiences. And so we need to pay attention to that. And that's something we have to be intentional about, and take time for and create space for. So I would say start there, and in the same way, pay attention to what he's doing right now in the very midst of where you're at in the craziness and chaos of life. Somehow find the space or the way to tune your ear into what his spirit is doing, both, again, inside you internally as well as externally around you. And don't discount those things that you say, oh, God, was that really you? Sometimes maybe it's not really him, but I would say more often than not, when you pay attention and when you listen, you're going to find the ways that he is moving. But we've got to be intentional about paying attention. So that would be the first thing I would say. I think the second thing I would say is be patient, give yourself a lot of grace, continue to take the next step, even when you're not sure what that step is. Don't get so far ahead of yourself that you're trying to see the end destination, because that gets really overwhelming, that you don't see just the next thing that God puts in front of you and that He is asking you to do. And so when we are faithful in those small things, I think God just continues to lead us down the path, and more things unfold to us as we are faithful in that direction. And it's hard, and we there's all kinds of barriers and obstacles, and we may want to quit. But I think if we can just find the courage to take one step after another and to get out of bed every morning and believe that God actually does care about the dreams He's placed inside of our hearts, then we will find the fortitude to keep going down that path.
And all of that is exactly why I knew you'd be a great guest for this show. Oh, so good.
Yeah. Well, some of it I've had to learn the hard way. Uh-huh. I certainly have not done it perfectly, but I just love the way that God continues to pick us up off the floor. I should say pick me up off the floor, mm-hmm. even when I've done it all wrong, and says, you know, okay, take another step. You got to mm-hmm. trust me. Just take another step.
Well, I know you have a list of kind of some books and resources that you wanted to share that have been encouraging to you. That might be helpful to the listeners as well.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of Parker Palmer.
Are you?
Yes. So I think the first time someone handed me Let Your Life Speak, I sat down and said, oh my goodness, he wrote this book just for me. It was someone finally putting words to a lot of the things I was experiencing that I just couldn't name and I didn't know what to do with. So I kept that book and still do keep that book in my backpack. It goes with me everywhere I go. And just when I need to be reminded of this journey and the places that I need to be reminded of, I go to that book. So that one for me is huge. The Call by Oz Guinness is more of a foundational theological expose, I guess, if you will, of calling. And I think at the heart of our dreams really is this foundation of calling. And so, like I said, my book is not a how-to, and it's not a theological treatise on dreaming or calling. But if you want something that's more like that, that book, The Call by Oz Guinness, is a great resource. And then the other two things I'll just throw out there that I found huge value in, as you get to know yourself, get to know how you're wired, what makes you tick in the world, how you're different than other people, is any books or resources on the Enneagram, which it's Enneagram for people who may not be familiar with what that is. There's the Enneagram Institute online that you can Google and take a test. It's I don't want to trivialize it to a personality test because it's so much more than that. But it will give you an idea of some of those deeper things that are happening in your soul and why they're there based on how you're wired. And so one great book on that is a book by InterVarsity Press, actually, that just came out recently called The Road Back to You by Ian Crone and Suzanne Stable. I believe is how you pronounce her last name, but it will give you a great overview and some great insight onto what the Enneagram is all about.
And then finally, we talked about, again, the book is called The Sound of a Million Dreams. And I think that you will really read in this book a lot of what we've reflected and discussed today in probably greater detail and deeper story about Suanne's life. And her pursuit of these God-shaped dreams. So we're going to do an Instagram giveaway of one copy of the book. You have until midnight on May 4th to either visit my Instagram or Suanne's. Can you remind us what yours is?
It's Sue Camfield.
So S-U-E Camfield. Yes. And then mine's Merritt, J-O. So you can visit either one of those, tag two people, And then on May 5th, Sue Ann and I will figure out who won a copy of that book. So go do that as soon as you're done listening.
Yes.
And she will get that to you shortly after, whoever wins that one. And then I'll put everything, all the resources, everything you've talked about in the show notes as well. And then just my last question for you, Sue Ann, before we jump off is if you could share just like the biggest takeaway from this experience, maybe just of writing the book, or if you feel like you've got something that's coming to mind over this last decade. But what do you want to leave us with as far as what you've taken away from this experience walking with God through this journey?
That's a big question.
I know. Sorry.
That's right. It's a good question. It is a great question. Gosh, there are so many things, but I think if there was one big takeaway, I would think it is definitely you know, anybody that's asking, what am I supposed to do? That's a valid question, but remember that it's never more important than answering who you want to become. And so offer yourselves to your dreams, pursue them with everything you have, work as hard as you can work, find all of the places in your life you can put forth towards your dreams. And then hold it loosely and remember there's nothing more important than letting God shape you into the person that you want to become.
If you have ever wondered who you are supposed to become as a result of your dream, this was the episode for you. Probably even more important, if you, like me, hadn't even considered who you are supposed to become or what your dream might have to do with that. But from the depths of my being, I love Sue Ann's suggestion that this is where we might spend most of our time praying, pondering, and asking God what He wants to do in us through the dreams He's put on our heart. Another big takeaway for me was this idea of paying attention to what God's been doing in your life all along. And if you came to know Him later in life, like I did, this also means paying attention to what He was doing before you knew Him as well as after. Because He knew you before the beginning of time. And even those years of running from Him, avoiding Him, or even spitting in His face, none of it's wasted. He uses those things too. So maybe you've been listening here for a while, or even if you're new to the podcast and you've wondered about your own God-shaped dream. What is it? Do I even have a dream? I've heard these questions again and again, and though I can't answer them for you, I do have a free resource that I think might help a little. It's a worksheet with just a handful of questions that'll help you think through what God's been doing in your life and in your heart since the very beginning. It'll walk you through thinking about your past experiences and loves, and it'll help you find patterns and maybe even a few clues that could point you in the direction of your dream. I will put a link to the Pay Attention worksheet in the show notes, as well as in the show description, but you can also find it straight at the link meritonsa.com/payattention. I've already posted a link to the worksheet in the Devoted Dreamers Insiders group on Facebook, so go ahead and check there if you're in the group, or if you're not, go join the group so you can get early access to free resources like the Pay Attention worksheet, as well as be part of a growing community of women who are encouraging one another, praying for each other, and cheering each other on in their journey. You can find us by searching for Devoted Dreamers in Facebook groups. I'm planning some fun things for the group too, like bringing in guests for live chats, hosting challenges to help you take steps towards your dream. But more than anything, this is a place for you to hang out, find and give encouragement to one another, and get the inside scoop about the podcast. I'll put a link to the group in the show description too, so you can easily find it in your listening app. Also in this week's show notes, you'll find links to all the resources and books Sue Ann mentioned, as well as how to find and follow her online. That is at meritonsa.com/podcast/43. And I'll also put that in the show description. Let's not forget the Instagram giveaway. First, go find and follow me and Sue Ann on Instagram. She's at Sue Campfield and I'm at Merit J.O. You'll see a post about the giveaway in both of our accounts, and you can just comment on one of those posts and tag two people before midnight on May 5th. Sue Ann and I will combine those comments and select one winner to receive a copy of her book. That's it for today's episode, and I'm so looking forward to sharing next week's guest with you. Her name is Rachel Swanson, a dental hygienist turned author and speaker. Rachel's book, The Big and Little Coloring Devotional, released in April of 2017, was birthed by her own struggle to keep it together as a busy mama of three children under 2 years old. A rising inspirational speaker, Rachel often shares personal and spiritual growth insights related to encouraging moms in motherhood, helping women discover their unique purpose in Christ, understanding God's design for healthy sexuality, and helping others overcome stress and anxiety in their lives. So I hope you'll come on back next week to meet Rachel and learn about the big changes God's been working on in her life. That's it for today. Now go get your pay attention worksheet and get a glimpse of what God's been doing in your life all along. And thanks again so much for joining me. And wherever you are with your God-shaped dreams, I pray you have the courage to take one step toward their realization today. I'll see you next week.